Hello, everyone. Welcome to Radically Loved Radio. I wanted to create a place where people can go to get inspired, get motivated, or find some clarity and get tools to create a radically loved life. I will do my best to provide information on a variety of subjects, including yoga, holistic health, life coaching, spirituality, meditation, and overall mindful living. Each episode will bring you some of the world's best spiritual leaders, entrepreneurs, yoga teachers, coaches, along with some of my closest friends, and we will talk about their life experiences and journeys to create something more out of their lives and how they continue to grow to make that happen. Hey guys, Rosie here. I just want to say I am so grateful that you're listening. We are just getting a massive amount of response on this podcast, and I am so grateful that you're a part of this radically loved community, that you're enjoying the content, and that you're enjoying all the guests, and that you're still here, and you're still working on yourself and your journey and your path. And I pray that you've received some tools listening to the guests or listening to any of my ideas or topics on meditation or yoga and how these tools can help you create a life of purpose. To continue to help us give you the best content, you can subscribe to this podcast, and most of the time you can just do it from your phone, from iTunes. Click subscribe and write a review. This really helps us continue this path and this journey, and we love doing it so much. And again, I'm so grateful that you're here. Let us know what you thought. Thanks for listening. For everyone listening, this is like the first, I haven't recorded any new podcasts the last couple of weeks. I wanted to take some time off. And I had ran out of banked interviews. So sorry, listeners. It's just kind of like everything's done. Here's the cool thing, though, is that I get to bring new and fun content now that's like up to date. So you're going to hear this in pretty much real time. So I'm sitting here with my friend Brant, which many of you know, and he's been on the show before, and I wanted to bring him on, obviously, because there was no other way for me to bribe him to come hang out with me. He's probably sick of me after being with me most of this year. But I wanted to kind of just catch up with him and see what he's been doing, and just for us to just, you know, hash out our adventure together, and you know, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of insight as to what it was like to be on the road, because I have had some of you email and ask like what we're doing, or some of you didn't even actually know that the tour was over. It's done, right?
It's done.
This is it. It finished like a month and 2 weeks ago.
We started our reunion tour in 2 weeks.
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh my, I would love that. That'd be so great. Awesome. It's interesting. I'll give you just a little bit of update from my end, so you can kind of just, you know, get a little insight as to where I'm at or where I've been. Like, we came back, obviously our tour finished, and you got to hang out in Colorado.
I did. I got to see my family for about a week, which was great, and catch some fall colors in Colorado, which I really missed.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was great.
I was on an airplane to Italy.
You were, like, right away.
Like, that day. And did my retreat, and it was absolutely amazing, but I definitely felt like it was a lot. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on, I think, just with wrapping up the tour, and then, you know, having to be fully present and fully, you know, like functioning for all my people. It was a lot. And then I took a couple of days after that to kind of travel around, and which was really fun, but I was so ready to come home. Like, I was just, I gotta be honest, I couldn't, I did my best to really try and enjoy being in Venice and being in Rome, and they were absolutely beautiful and definitely on my bucket list. But I can't honestly say that I was able to fully enjoy it.
I think you'll have to go back again.
Yeah.
Not after 6 months of being on the road.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it was like so, I mean, I, you know, obviously we talked and I was texting you and I was just kind of like saying pretty much the same thing, that like, I just, it was just really hard for me to
enjoy it because I was like so ready to just come home, you know, and
like veg out on the couch for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, and see my dogs. And I mean, we hadn't been home in like a month and a half. It had been a while, a month and a half maybe.
I think so.
And, you know, just being on the road for the majority of this year.
Yeah.
So I was ready to be back. But anyway, there was so many little interesting hiccups that happened on the road. And still, like, I was keeping it together. Everything was, I'm like, you know what? It was great year. Everything's been so incredible. So many incredible experiences and so many things to learn from, which I want to get into. And obviously, you and I will talk about. But
definitely.
I think that, you know, my body was definitely talking to me, telling me that I needed to slow down. And this had been for like a little while, you know, that it had been like my body was doing some weird, interesting things. On the airplane back, on the airplane ride back, Tori and I actually flew separately. And there was a lot of sick people on the plane. I was coming back from Frankfurt. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up coming back with the swine flu.
You got the swine flu somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean.
Exactly. And it put me out for a while. Actually, honestly, it took about 3 weeks for me to come back
to
life.
You had the straight up H1N1.
Yeah, I had H1N1. And it was the craziest part about that is like not only was I totally just exhausted and depleted from being on the road and traveling, but then I come home and I'm like, I relocated back in LA in January, but then I've been gone since February of this year because I was in Thailand and then I did another retreat and then I was in Bali and like came back, went straight to Colorado and then the tour started. So I've really not been able to settle back in to being here. And so it was like gnarly to come back and it's like, my stuff's still in boxes. Like, I haven't really settled. I'm sick. I literally feel like death. Like, I literally
That's
was like,
worst.
If you, I mean, there were so many things I was wishing in that moment. I'm like, why did this happen? This is all my fault. I should have just, you know.
No, I think it was like you said, your body was talking to you and it was forcing you to slow things down.
Yeah.
One way or another, it's going to throw a wrench in the gears and make you stop, you know?
Yeah. It threw a big wrench, like a sledgehammer. It's like, stop. So anyway, I stopped and, you know, I slowly have been able to come back and you know, get back into the swing of things. And anyway, so for us being able to have this opportunity to talk about, you know, the stuff that we went through and we did, I think is really important because I think there was a lot to lead up to that, you know, a lot of lead up to that point. And I'm curious to hear how it was for you to come back because I know that you came back and you had to move too. And like, so you're kind of starting afresh. So we're kind of in the same position. So what was it like when you came? So I came back, whatever, it was chaotic and it was awful. And we may or may not have time to get into it, but we're wanting to talk about the tour. So I guess we can kind of like stay on point. So,
okay. It was also chaotic for me. It was kind of a fun chaos. I had given up my apartment for the tour, so I had to come back and me and my girlfriend had plans to move in together. But we were trying to look for places basically while you and I were on the road.
Right.
So I'm like, I couldn't see anything in person. She was going to check stuff out, but it was like, you know, I was going by videos and photos and stuff like that and trying to figure out how it was all going to work. But we found a place, we got it, we got moved in right after I got back. Which was, you know, stressful as hell, but it felt good to get in the new place, which was cool. We're living in North Hollywood now in a really nice place, so that's really fun. And just the excitement of moving in with the person that you love was very exciting, too, so that was cool. Now starts the process of figuring out, you know, what annoys each other about ourselves, what we have to compromise on to make everything work. But it's been awesome so far. So I did that. I was doing like four different types of jobs. I was working a little bit at the restaurant that I was working at. I was doing some photography jobs, shooting some behind the scenes photos and production stills. I was doing I got jury duty right after I came back, so
what?
I had to go do that. That was like 18-hour days for like 3 weeks.
Brad,
I was production coordinating a commercial that Carolina was producing. So it was nuts. It was nuts. I was like, I was so excited to come back from the tour and get a new routine. And it was like anything but routine as soon as I came back. So just now things are finally settling down, which is exciting. So
obviously, did you get on a court case or?
I didn't, but I sat through through voir dire, which is like where the lawyers are like picking jurors for 3 days for a civil case that sounded a little silly to me, so I'm glad I didn't get on the actual jury. But it was down to like the last like two jurors before everybody was happy, and so I just got lucky.
Nice! You lucked out.
I did luck out, but it was still like 3 full days of just chilling in the courthouse with nothing to do.
Do you know what's crazy is that I've never. I shouldn't say it.
Yeah, you're gonna screw yourself.
I'm not gonna say it.
You know what? My mom has neither. My mom is like 62 or something like that. And she's never done jury duty. Never been called. Yeah.
Really?
This is like the third or fourth time I've been called.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. Maybe they know that you're a good, even keeled judge of character.
Maybe so.
So okay, so we've both been whirlwinded since we came back.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to hear from you, like. Obviously, you know, for the people listening to this that maybe haven't heard our first interview, it's linked on this particular podcast. If you go to the info, you can hear our first interview. But I listened to it the other day because I was
what
like...
What city were we in?
We were in New York.
We were in New York.
Yeah, we're in New York.
That was right at the beginning.
Yeah, it was right at the beginning. And I think it's so... like, we just sounded so different. I'm like, we sound like kids, even though it was, you know, whatever. It wasn't even a year, but it was such an interesting, like, hopeful, excited perspective.
Yeah.
And not to say that we're not those things, but I think what happens over time and after 14,000 miles, mm-hmm. I think we have experience. And there are things that we saw that changed us, things that we experienced, and you know, and we grew a lot from, I think.
Absolutely.
What are some of those moments for you that you can think of?
I mean, I think just the sheer fact that you and me were in a car together for 14 or 15,000 miles for 6 months is a feat in itself, for sure. So I think I learned that I can do that, which is a cool thing. But it's also very dependent on the situation. Like I've said it before, but I think you and I got very lucky getting paired up together because like your road trip buddy for 15,000 miles could easily make or break this whole 6 month tour.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it wasn't an added stress that you and I were paired up together is key to the success of this tour for sure. But I learned that I really actually enjoyed life on the road. Like, there was a lot about this tour that was exhausting, but honestly, the hotels and the Airbnbs and the driving was not part of it for me.
Yeah.
Like, I actually really thrived on that, and I really loved exploring all the new places and meeting all the new people. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool to see that it's like, that's if an opportunity came along for me to do something like that again or something abroad or travel for an extended amount of time, I wouldn't hesitate. You know, I would do it again. So that was huge for sure. As far as yoga goes, I think it solidified that I don't want to be a teacher anymore, that I just want to be a student. And I think there were good things and bad things that solidified that decision, but I'm happy to know for sure and not have that hanging like, oh, should I go back to teaching yoga? Should I not? But that's one thing that I think this experience really made crystal clear is that I'm like, I'm really happy just being a yoga student. And I don't need to feel the pressure to go out and teach again just because I've taught before or just because I can. But and I think it really helped me kind of pick the yoga that I want to be practicing.
Mm.
You and I had some amazing yoga experiences in this trip. We had some so-so yoga experiences, and we had some bummer yoga experiences. And all that together just really creates a picture in your mind of what my yoga is and where I can go to find that.
Yeah. What were some of the things that you think in your experience, like just to kind of touch on, you know, our not great experiences, right? and I want to kind of try and keep this as positive as possible because there's absolutely no way that I will tell you especially the people listening, who or where those experiences were, because that's just not how we roll,
sure.
You know? But I will say that in those experiences, you know, you and I had several conversations mm-hmm. in the car about how and why this is and what is happening. For you, thinking back to those bummer experiences,
yeah.
What can you tell us about it, and what can you tell us would have made it different?
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, I feel like...
What makes it a bummer experience too? Like, just give us an example maybe.
I think it could be something simple like a teacher, maybe who's a new teacher, teaching like an unsafe sequence, something like that, where I know something feels weird in my body, and because I've had, you know, a lot of training and I've taught a lot of yoga, I can kind of pinpoint why. But I think there's a lot of students in that class that may leave that class just going, yoga doesn't feel good, and think that's a general thing, when really, if the teacher had made a little more intelligently sequenced class and put things where they were supposed to be and warmed up mm-hmm. our bodies correctly before we went into some massive peak posture or something like that, I think overall would have been a much better experience. So there's simple things like that. But also I think there's a lot of trend of fitness classes that are under the guise of a yoga class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, like a real yoga class, yes, we'll have fitness aspects, of course, because there's movement, but I feel like there has to be at least, you know, a carrot at the end of the stick of like, there's something deeper beyond this. And, you know, it's up to the teacher how deep they want to go with that, but I feel like they need to at least have some of that in the class, because otherwise it really is just a movement class or a mm-hmm. yoga-inspired fitness class, which are fine if that's what people want, but I would rather see it called that
yeah.
and not yoga.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree 100%, especially, you know, going back to what you said about the people who don't know their bodies or the people that are newer to yoga that think like, oh, this is what this is about. Mm-hmm. And it always makes me a little sad. Do you remember that center we went to where the lady, that was her first yoga class, and it was one of those not great yoga classes. And we
yeah.
were walking and I was like telling her, I'm like, this is not what it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't. And we
Absolutely.
Both stood there and like, we're talking to her about how she should try another class
yeah.
or try a different place or whatever. And I feel like, yeah, I feel like you're right. I also really felt that experiencing the landscape, especially in the yoga community, a community that's supposed to be thriving on connection and union, I did feel a lot of it, and maybe it's just my high standard because I feel like we should have felt it everywhere,
right?
Because this is just yoga,
and
like
it's
just what's,
yeah.
that's what my, you know, I have mm-hmm. high expectations, and it wasn't the case, you know,
right.
Like there was definitely places we went to, you know, whether they were part of this tour or not, that we maybe explored on our own,
mm-hmm.
where we felt a huge disconnect, and we maybe felt
yeah.
a little bit like that.
I think there were feelings of competitiveness and exclusivity that we felt in certain studios that kind of caught us off guard, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that when you talk about a yogic lifestyle, those are two things that are always something you're going to have to fight against, but you should like, you should experience that fight. You know,
yeah.
And I don't even necessarily think that's. If you went up to that teacher and said, "Hey, I felt this in class," I think they would be blindsided by it. You know what I mean? I don't think that they would realize by any means that either them or the studio or the yoga that they're teaching gives off any air of that.
Yeah. Hmm. What was? What was the hardest part about this tour for you?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, there's, you know, the simple one of just being away from home and people
yeah.
that you love for 6 months. That's a tough part. But the exploring is also like the trade-off you get for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
it's kind of easier to justify
mm-hmm,
that sometimes
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
you're having these new experiences that you wouldn't have back home with the same people that you're always with. I think realizing like that the people in this country are less unified about a lot of things than we think they are.
Yeah.
I mean, yoga being one of them, politics being one of them. There's just so many things that there's this great rift in between so many mm-hmm. people. And I think people are less willing these days to kind of bridge that gap because it's easier to find people who are just like you and stick in that group.
Yeah.
So that was tough. I think like it's that kind of idea of like the echo chamber, you know, you stick to people who have your same points of view and you just kind of get stuck in that. And I think in one sense that even applies a little bit to you and me with our experience of yoga on this trip, because I feel like you and me have a very similar idea of the yoga that we want to practice. And one of the things that you and I learned on this trip is that we as yogis really have to broaden that definition of what yoga is, because what you and me might find an amazing class, somebody else who's been doing yoga for a long time might step into and say, that was just all right.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, that was amazing.
And that was amazing, yeah. So sometimes I wonder too, like if one of us had a very different view of what our favorite thing of yoga was, how different our conversations would have been after some of those, like what we call a bummer yoga experience.
Right. And look, again, for the people listening, when we say a bummer yoga experience, it's like we still made the best of it.
For
sure. I think that that's really what a gift of this practice is, that we're able to just make the best of whatever situation we were in.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there was some definitely bummer situations that happened. I think that for me, one of the hardest things was definitely that. It's what you said. It's like it was for sure being away from, you know, my dogs and Tori and you know, my little sister and stuff, and not being able to see them. And I think, I mean, it's the same. I think having the experience where you see or you have an expectation of what a community should be, and it's not. Yeah. And, you know, I think that what I often found myself asking was, how come? Like, why is this?
Yeah.
How come? Why? Why is it? But why is this important? Why is this important? It's still to this day. I'm still, you know, trying to figure out exactly how we're affecting the landscape of us in the yoga community and us as yogis, how we can influence it somehow to have more people see what this practice is really about. And look, that's not our responsibility. Everyone's responsible for their own experience,
for sure.
But I think that having a little bit more clarity around what it means to be a yogi, maybe, I don't know, that was a big lesson for me, I guess, like really being able to define that, because I was so sure. I was like, I literally came in, you know, you came in with, you know, wanting to figure out like whether you want to teach or not. Mm-hmm. And you were kind of, and to me, in my mind, my goal was like, he's going to want to teach after this. Like, it's like, it had nothing to do with me or whatever. Cause I was like, I'm secure in my belief system and my yogic dogma, you know, I'm all set. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's part of the practice too, is to be able to like let things get a little messy and question things. And
absolutely, it's important to ask why.
That's So okay, that was fun, but let's talk about the fun stuff. Let's talk about how much fun we had, like driving 14,000 miles and what we listened to, and like part of the things that actually made this trip. And okay, so I'll ask you this: what was your okay, side note for you guys listening, every time we'd go to city, I'd have this conversation with him, and I'd have to ask him every single time. So I'm like, I don't know if you're sick of hearing the questions or not, but I'm going to ask you what your favorite city was and why.
Yeah. I always answer this by saying I was surprised by a lot of cities.
Okay.
Philly really surprised me. I didn't have much hopes for Philly because I just had, I've never heard that much. People are like, oh yeah, Philly's fine. But I really loved Philadelphia. The yoga scene there was great. I really loved the downtown area. They're doing a lot to clean up the city, like along the rivers, which is really cool. I love the history in Philadelphia. That was really fun. I liked Miami a lot more than I thought I would. It was awesome. My girlfriend came down and she was like our kind of our tour guide for a little while we were there. And even though it was so hot, guys. Oh God.
Oh my goodness. It was, like,
if I lived there, I would be a vampire. Like, I wouldn't be able to leave the house till 6 p.m. But it's a really beautiful city and it's so vibrant and so energetic, which is really fun. And we had a lot of fun in Texas. I really liked Austin. That was cool. Nashville was cool. But I think my favorite city was actually Boise, Idaho. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It feels to me, like I've described this before, but it feels to me like Boulder about 20 years ago.
Okay.
Because you're like a half hour away from three different mountain ranges. It's a lot of like young, active people who are living there. There's good food, there's good coffee, good breweries there. They had a really cool farmer's market that we went to. And this is a really big focus on getting outdoors, which I love. And most important, it's still fairly affordable, which is cool. So, I totally could have spent a lot of time in Boise.
Yeah.
And I like, that was another town that I was like, Boise, whatever, it'll be fine. And then we rolled in and was like, this is Boise!
Yeah. We had, well, I don't know if we, but I think that we had our best burger on the whole tour in Boise.
In Boise,
am I right?
That was delicious.
Okay.
I still dream about that burger.
Yeah. those of you that are in Boise, or I don't know what they have, it's called Eureka.
Yeah.
That's the name of the place.
And they've got
place.
Them scattered around the U.S. a little bit.
Yeah, but like in weird places.
Yeah. There's one in Boulder, actually, if you guys are there.
I know. There was one right like around the corner from, remember?
Yeah.
I told you, I'm like, it's right there. It was by the popsicle place.
Yeah, by the popsicle place.
Oh, I was so upset so that that's not where I don't even remember where we ate, but I was so mad.
We had our steak free.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That was good.
Okay, so that was your favorite city.
I think so, yeah. But there was a lot of really cool cities. I love any city that has a real sense of identity to it.
Mm.
Like, if you could plop me down in the middle of that city and not tell me where I am, and I could wander around for 10 minutes and go, oh, yeah, I'm here. I love any city that, like, has that grit and that identity to it. And there were a few cities we went to that were, like, major cities, and I was just like, all right, this just looks like a generic backlot city to me, like, and for some reason I don't vibe with those as much, but it was fun. I mean, every city we went to had something awesome in it. It really did.
Yeah. And one of the things that I kind of wanted to bring up on that is that you were always so like, I say this, but I'm like, I love doing stuff, but if it wasn't for Brant, like, I would have done nothing. Like, I'm such a homebody. If anything, I realized that I definitely am more of an introvert than I thought.
Oh, interesting.
You know? I like being, like, in a hub.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you were the one that was always like, let's go see the sunset, or let's go to this hike, or let's try this. And that was, like, the only reason why I ever did anything. So that, and it was part of my job, obviously.
Yeah, well, there's that.
But I did enjoy it. And I think that, you know, I was more like the, oh, let's go try this, or let's go to the coffee shop, and let's go work. Obviously, I'm obsessed with working. But, like...
We did have to do a lot of that.
Yeah, we did. But, you know, one of my favorite things that I think you really enjoyed doing was photographing like the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So what sunset was your favorite?
Ooh. You know, I got a sunset in, you weren't with me on this hike, but I went on a hike in Salt Lake City, back kind of behind the Capitol building. And I can't think of the name of the hike right now. But I kind of went off trail a little bit and just climbed way up into the hills. And I had the drone with me, and I had my camera set up and everything, and it was just me by myself, like, looking down over, like, the whole basin where Salt Lake City is, and had this amazing sunset, and I think that was probably my favorite. It was beautiful.
That was when you got rained on.
That was, yeah, the rain
the
was coming
spider.
In, and I saw a tarantula. Yeah. That's right, yeah, yeah.
You always got to do fun stuff without me. What was your most favorite thing of the tour, aside from having an awesome road buddy?
Clearly, that's the best. honestly, I think, I don't know if I can pinpoint like one singular thing other than just that. I think I mentioned this when we recorded our last podcast, but just the fact of getting to see our own country for 6 months, like, because I feel like anytime I have enough money for a plane ticket and I've got a week off, I'm like, what country am I going to? I'm never like, where am I going in my own country? So it was cool to have a chance to explore a lot of those cities that I probably would never necessarily have a reason to go to if it weren't for this tour. So I've been to 49 of the 50 states now after my own travels and this tour, which is really cool. And it's been incredible to see as much as I've seen of our own country. But when I think about like how much we didn't even see, there's just our country is just so big. And I think about like how much time I spent exploring my backyard right here in LA and backpacking and hiking around this area.
Yeah.
And it's like a percent. Yeah. It's like nothing of, you know, it's just amazing to think that there's this much space and this many cool things to do all over the country. You
know? And so much landscape and so much beauty. Like I really, really saw how much beauty this country, like
and how varied trees. It is.
Yeah, like the different, like the, you know, red rocks and the forest and the desert, like everything was just so incredible. Yeah. And again, like you said, there's so much that we didn't get to see, but I think that was definitely obviously like my favorite part is just being being able to be out on the open road.
Yeah, it made me very grateful that we were road tripping and not flying because I think we saw so much more than we would have.
Yeah.
That last, one of our last drives, we drove from San Diego all the way through to Denver. And I think it was with towing our trailer, I think it was about a 24-hour drive or something like that. But you really felt like you saw everything. I mean, it was like 104 degrees when we were driving through Vegas. And then we hit like this massive snowstorm by the time we got to Vail.
I know, that's crazy.
And it was like 24 degrees. And then driving across Utah before that and just seeing like these amazing landscapes and just how varied and beautiful our own country is. It made me feel very lucky to live here, for sure.
Okay. I just have a couple more questions, and I think I'm trying to remember. There was a couple listeners that had sent questions, and I know one of them was, "What did you guys listen to on the road?
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing to listen to?" So I'll let you answer that.
Oddly enough, we probably spent 90% of our time listening to true crime podcasts.
True.
There's one called Up and Vanished, which we highly recommend.
Yes.
What were some of the other ones? We listened to three or four.
We listened to Someone Knows Something.
Someone Knows Something, that was a good one. Wasn't there something about Invisible or something?
Oh
man, I can't think of the name.
I can't remember.
But yeah, but the true crime podcast that had us in. Like we were like really excited to hop in the car. Even if we had like 10 minutes to go, we would just listen to that.
Obsessively.
Yeah.
Well, I was more obsessive than he was. I think he was definitely more like the even keel person, and I'm like, we have to listen to it now. It's like a 3-minute drive. I'm like, I don't care.
We have to put it on. But that was very cool.
Yeah.
Because that really like kept our attention for the long drives, which was fun. And we did listen to some music too, mostly just like my
Your
Discover Weekly.
Your Weekly on Spotify.
But Spotify DJ was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good stuff for us.
But I definitely think that 70% of what we listened to was probably podcasts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We would do Radiolab and
some
American...
Yeah, we do
American,
a lot of different podcasts.
What is it, the other one? American...
This American Life.
This American
Life,
Radiolab. So that's what we listened to. We definitely recommend Up and Vanished. We were obsessed with it.
Yeah, it was very well done.
There is actually a new one. I sent you the new one.
Yeah, I haven't listened, though.
It's not started yet. Don't worry, you will get...
some weekly updates
on
this.
Weekly update.
Okay.
What was your, you know, it's going to be funny when I start laughing. I'm like, what city or what state was your favorite, gas stop or truck stop or most memorable? We saw a lot of them.
We did see a lot of gas stations and a lot of truck stops. Where were we, the first time that we recorded our weekly wrap up?
Oh, man.
We were somewhere down south, I feel like.
Were we? I don't remember. I think, was it Nashville?
I think it was somewhere outside of Nashville. Anyway, So we we were recording like kind of like confessional style, like weekly wrap ups of every city. And I think we had just forgotten to get ours in before we had left the Airbnb that morning. And so we were like on like the side of a road at the truck stop. Like I think it was like 110 degrees outside, and we're sitting outside with our selfie stick, and everybody's staring at us because we're just those weirdo kids talking to a selfie stick outside at a truck stop. But it totally worked. It totally worked. That was probably my favorite my favorite truck stop. I will say my favorite like gas station experience was, oh, what are they called? In New Orleans, somebody told me that the best fried chicken.
Oh my God!
The best fried chicken in New Orleans is at this gas station. What are they called? Brothers or something like that?
I don't know, Brent Williams, but I will never get that visual out of my mind.
I definitely got some gas station fried chicken, and let me tell you, they were right. It was the best fried chicken I've ever had.
You guys were literally walking on that was Main Street, right? That we were on. Was it on Main Street? It was on one of those main drags.
Yeah,
and I'm like. Just so you guys know, let me tell you this much. I picked up most of Brant Williams' bad habits.
You're welcome.
He picked up none of mine.
Like, none of her good habits.
None of my good habits or bad ones. Maybe he did. I have no idea. But I started this tour as a vegan. I was still a morning person. That's the only thing that didn't break. Yeah. That went to bed at like 8:30 at night, which for the most part, yeah, but I think we kind of pushed it a couple of times. There's a couple other things that I'm not going to disclose. But yeah, he definitely did influence me a little bit. By the end of the tour, I'm now a meat eater. Yeah. My apologies to my vegan brothers and sisters out there.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. That's my fault.
It's, you know, I try to be as conscious as I can, but, you know, I realize that my body actually feels a lot better.
Yeah.
You know,
I really do think that some constitutions are made to eat meat.
Yeah. And I definitely, in my experience, I'm going to have to just agree with that because I definitely did. And, you know, we were practicing yoga, like no one's business.
Yeah.
And I was working out, you know, it was just like a lot. We were moving boxes and we're, you know, doing a lot, and I think that my body just really liked it. Anyway, I kind of deviated on this, but here we are, Brant with his plastic bag of fried chicken, and we're like literally outside of this gas station, and I'm trying to find like a juice place, I'm trying to find like, oh, and the coffee thing too, that's where I was going, because I'm like, I was trying to find a coffee shop,
yeah.
I didn't drink coffee. I was like a tea, little like green tea was like the most I'd have. Now I'm like eating meat and drinking coffee all the time.
Yeah.
You're like, you're welcome again. But it was really funny to kind of just be walking down the street as Brant's like biting into his fried chicken from a plastic bag.
I could eat that right now.
I wish I would have at least tried a little bit, but
you
just,
have tried a little
just
bit,
because to have the experience,
yeah.
Because you talked about it pretty much the whole entire
time
after that.
It was the best fried chicken I've ever had. We had a lot of good food experiences.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Breakfast tacos. If you're ever in Nashville, you have to get Nashville, Austin's breakfast tacos.
Yeah.
You have got to go and get some breakfast tacos. And I'm amazed that hasn't taken off everywhere because these were delicious.
Maybe there's a market for that here. You would think here in LA we would have something.
I know, like if anywhere, LA would have it.
All right, so that's all I got for now.
That's fair. All right, I've got some questions for you, though.
All right.
Okay,
let's see what
we got.
We're going to switch roles here
now. Yeah, now I'm doing the interviewing. So we had a lot of conversations about this double-edged sword that is social media.
Oh, goodness, yes.
I know. And we've talked about how it's an amazing tool for bringing people to yoga, for spreading the word of yoga. But at the same time, it's a visual medium. And sometimes it can make people think that yoga is also a visual medium and that it has to look a certain way. Mm. And a lot of our tour was on social media stuff. So it was trying to surf that line of spreading the word about yoga and what it can be if you want it to be that. While keeping people excited about it, while at the same time having this disclaimer that yoga does not have to look this pretty.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think currently is the best vehicle for bringing new people to yoga and for telling people about yoga? I mean, is it still social media? Is it something else? Is there another platform that's better?
I mean, I think that, yeah, I think that's my opinion is that I still think social media is a good medium for people because we are like an ocular society where we see and then do, mm-hmm. you know? I think that we can definitely be a little bit more mindful with messaging, but I mean, this is a conversation that's been happening since like the 60s with advertising Absolutely. Agencies, you know, it's one of those things that you have to just be really conscious and mindful about what it is that you're paying attention to or what you're wanting to bring out into the world. I think as teachers in particular or yogis out there that are teachers and that have large platforms, you know, and there are many, mm-hmm. I think that the onus is on them to represent what a yogic practice is. And although like it's a beautiful art to see, you know, yeah. the body is just a beautiful work of art. And I think that it should be celebrated in every shape and size. But I think that a lot of the times we forget that and we celebrate just a certain type and certain postures and certain aesthetics. Mm. And I think that that's kind of where we can get on a slippery slope and where we can get in trouble because then it's like what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's like,
For sure.
Did I, you know, get turned, did I turn to yoga because of how beautiful his posture was? And then it made me a yogi, and then the reason why I couldn't do it, or the reason why I stopped going to yoga is because I couldn't do that particular posture and look that particular way. Mm. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think it's still a great medium. I still really enjoy it, but you and I've had this conversation, and the way that I'm using social media now is different because I have to change it for myself too.
Sure.
Right? So, anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. How has your teaching changed now that you've gotten back? After your experience of all of our classes, the good, the bad, the ugly, and not only the experiences of our yoga, but just our life experiences on the tour and the stresses that we had and the joys that we had, how has all that culminated into any sort of change in what you teach, or has it?
You really thought about these questions. So, like, you know, I think that... I think it has changed. I think, how could it not?
How could it not?
I find myself being a lot more anxiety-filled.
Interesting.
I feel way more nervous and way more responsible.
I think that's one of the things that we talk about this some too, but that sense of responsibility as a yoga teacher, it's huge.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned a few times about first-timers taking yoga classes. And I think so many beginning yoga teachers don't realize the responsibility they have in teaching someone their very first yoga class. Because that can make or break someone's whole life history of doing yoga or not. And I think if people treated that with that kind of weight in mind, I think it would be a different experience. And I think people would really want to have, for lack of a better term, their shit together before they get out there and they start teaching yoga to first-timers or beginners. Because you have to not only teach yoga, but you have to teach a first-timer and beginning yogis the responsibility to do their own yoga and mm-hmm. to shape the practice that they want mm-hmm. and to even get up the guts to leave your class if your class is not the one that they need.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think the responsibility, just what you mentioned as a yoga teacher, is huge, and yeah. I wish more teachers of yoga would realize the heaviness of it.
Yeah, yes, So we'll see. I mean, those of you that are curious, just come take my class and find out.
Yeah.
But there's definitely been it's still, you know, I feel like I just started teaching again.
I bet.
That's what it feels like.
I bet. That's exciting, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. And then my last question, would you do it again?
Ooh. I'll answer this if you answer it.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a deal.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know because I loved the travel. The traveling was fun. It was like awesome. What you said. It's like I would totally do that. It was funny because I was thinking about all the things I was grateful for.
Yeah.
On the tour, like the day before Thanksgiving or something, because I'm trying to really appreciate all the things that I missed when I was on the road.
Definitely.
You know, when I'm like holding my little dog and I'm like, I longed for the day of like holding my little chew bug in my arms. And like, now I even say it out loud, you know, I'm like, yeah. I'm just so happy. Like, I'm just so happy right now. And then there are moments where I'm like, all I want to do is just be on the road. And I'm like, I just want to be on the road. You know, I want to just be able to like, look forward to the next class.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
Have this experience of this new place. So I really I really enjoyed that. I really missed that. I don't know that I would do it for that long. I don't think that we could ever recreate that experience.
Yeah.
You know. I think if the question was, would you do that same experience again? With you,
mm-hmm.
same cities, I would say, yeah, I would totally do it again.
Sure.
I think we might even have more fun if we did it again now that we kind of know each other and like,
yeah.
you know. But would I do the whole tour again, you know, with somebody else or on my own? I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough call. It was... It was an incredible experience, and for as much stress and frenetic energy that came along with that experience, and knowing what I know now, I would do it again just for that experience. I mean, us and our team, the sponsors, Yoga Journal, everybody, like, everybody's fresh with this. Like, mm-hmm. this is only the second year they've done the tour.
Yeah.
And there were some drastic changes from last year to this. So we were all just kind of stumbling through this together, trying to figure out how to make it work. So there was stressful moments. There was hiccups and there was some things that just, you know, went off without a hitch, of course, too. But I think that this would be really fun to step into after the whole team's been doing it for, you know, 8 years
yeah.
or something.
And it's got, like when we do the reunion tour.
Exactly. The reunion yeah. tour would be super smooth. But yeah, once they found exactly the smoothest way to do things and the best ways to communicate, and they have that connection of teachers and studios and yogis all over the country already set in place, I think it would be a much smoother experience, but mm-hmm. it would have been a different experience. So
yeah.
who knows? I mean, it probably went down just exactly how it was supposed to go down.
Yeah.
So.
Did this tour change any foundational beliefs?
I don't know if it changed like foundational beliefs. I think it made me want to understand other people's point of views more.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was pretty happy to kind of be an ostrich for a while and just stick my head in the sand and be fine with that. but like after seeing like how divided this country is,
yeah.
but also seeing like just the humanity behind that too, it makes me want to find ways to connect with people that I don't understand their viewpoints at all.
Yeah.
You know? Because you see that they're going through the same struggles that you're going through,
yeah.
and financial struggles, and figuring out religion, if that's the thing, or mm-hmm. figuring out their own politics and their own family crap that comes with everything.
Yeah.
And I think if you can connect on those human issues first, it's easier then to sit back like two rational humans and say, this is my viewpoint, and this is my viewpoint, this is where they clash, let's figure out why.
Yeah, yeah.
So it did kind of renew my sense of vigor in meeting new people and understanding their viewpoints and being open to their points of view changing my own.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think that I don't actually think that it changed any foundational beliefs. I think if anything, it just reaffirmed the things that I believed already. But it also opened my eyes to see those things too, and to realize that everybody can use some healing.
Definitely.
You know, everyone can use some more compassion and more kindness in their lives. I mean, you know, here are two yogis, like, we're yogis, you know, we're traveling across the country, we're, you know, mindful and caring, generous humans, just, you know, as individuals and as people, like you and I as individuals, like, again, you know, we got paired with two like-minded individuals.
Sure.
that care about, you know, things and people. And I think that was definitely one of my favorite parts, is just like putting myself outside of this body or this experience and seeing how, like, you know, you would run to go, like, give a homeless person your lunch, or, you know, help somebody with their bags, or, you know, how, you know, we could see somebody that needed help and we would go and help them, or how we would say thank you and acknowledge everyone, from the random male person at the Airbnb we were staying, or the neighbor, or like the bellman or the valet, or, you know, the receptionist at a yoga studio. Like, I think that, you know, as far as this tour and what this tour represented, like living, being yoga, I think that, without it sounding too, you know, like self-indulgent, you know, and I don't want to sound like that, but I'm taking myself outside of that and even just saying us as a whole, like I don't know if that comes from just us being who we are, or if that's part of this collective that we've created. But I really did love that about our experience, you know, because I'm like, oh, like, this is, we're just being of service. Like, we're just being representatives, and we're just here to have some yoga and, like, talk about these awesome sponsors and have this experience, you know, like, I think that was definitely one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
I think,
for sure. I mean, it really was like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, when I think about how many people have a chance to do something like that, and I mean, not only to do it, but to, like, get paid to do it, basically. It's a very unique experience, and very grateful, for sure. Very grateful for the entire Yoga Journal team and for all the sponsors. It was a pretty incredible experience, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, obviously, like, we wouldn't have done it without
them. So
shout out.
I hope that they got out of the tour what they wanted to as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, wah. So that's
it. Yeah.
That was it, you guys. You know, if you're curious about the tour, we did do videos every week. We even have, like, this massive, like, recap that we did. It's like, did you see it? You saw it, obviously. I put it on YouTube. I don't know if you, well, it's going to be linked on this, so those of you listening can just click on the recap link. But, like, Brant and I, like, we got teary-eyed when we watched it, because, like, basically it's the last, the 6 months of the tour summed up in, like, 3 minutes. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, there. And we could, like, we're, like, pointing where everything, and I'm like, oh, there's Seattle. Oh, there's Arizona. Oh, there's New Orleans. Oh, there's Miami, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. So if you're curious to see the recap, you can see it there. If you go to the
Live Be Yoga page.
Yeah, the Live Be Yoga page.
You really have checked out of this tour, haven't you?
Sorry, guys. I literally was like, I, like, emptied the trash and emptied the cash.
You know, that tour about living and being in yoga. What's it called?
It's on Instagram. You can see the recap videos there.
Yeah. And if you're really, really excited, they're looking for ambassadors for next year's tour. there's information where you can apply on livebyoga.com or on the Instagram page.
Yeah, and we'll put the link up on here too. So awesome. For those of you that are interested, the link to be an ambassador for 2018.
They're going to London next year. I'm totally jealous.
We're going to try and get on that flight, but we'll see. Sorry, that was me just drinking sugary coconut water. So what's next for Brant Williams?
What's next for me? Let's see. I'm still working on, I've been doing some writing. I'm still working on photography stuff. I'm kind of looking for my next adventure, for sure. Oh,
that's exciting.
It is. It's very exciting, yeah.
So fun. So I'll put all your links so everyone can stalk or, I mean, follow you.
Perfect. Please stalk / follow me.
And obviously, Brant and I are, like, literally, we live, like, 10 minutes away from each other, so we'll still be hanging out and seeing each other. Yeah. And another thing that I'm grateful for is that I ended up with a lifelong friend, and that's
absolutely
really, really sweet.
Best part of the tour, for sure.
Yeah. That's it, guys. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our banter. I will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to continue to do this. Please share this with your friends. Email us, message us on Instagram at Rosie Acosta or on Twitter at Rosie Acosta. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review. We love doing this, so please help us continue to keep this podcast going. Thanks for listening.